Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, I would not either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Dory Shafrir.
And I am Kate Spencer.
And we are not experts.
We are just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, our beloved listeners, who share your comments and thoughts, and we answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we are not experts. We're just two podcast hosts wearing our finest workout clothes today. And we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us for one of these mini apps, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com. And let's get into it with a really important email.
I will say
that we received.
I'll read this email since it's directed to you.
Okay.
Just let me narrate it
all
for
right.
you. The subject is in all caps. Sheet masks are overrated. Here's the email. Thank you, Dory, for speaking your truth. Smiley face.
Thank you, dear listener.
That's it.
Short and to the point.
That's it.
Agreeing with me.
Yep.
A perfect email.
Dory's dream. Dory's dream. Succinct and on her side.
I love it.
I love it too. And you know, we've had so many different reactions to your sheet mask declaration.
Manifesto.
Yeah. And I have found, honestly, since you declared yourself not a sheet mask fan, I'm using them more.
Oh, interesting.
Not to rebel against you.
Aren't you the little secret contrarian?
Hello.
scared of confrontation, so I do it privately. It honestly just reminded me that of sheet masks, and so I've been doing them more. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I did a bunch when we traveled a few weeks ago to Florida.
I brought one, but didn't do it.
Oh, look at you.
Well, I was like, I have all these sheet masks. I might as well get rid of them. I don't want to waste them. That would be so wasteful.
I mean, we could do a giveaway of Dory's rejected sheet masks.
How alluring.
I'll take them off your hands.
Okay.
Or, you know, you can put them, give them to my Buy Nothing group. Oh, a Buy Nothing Forever 35 group might be fun. I know we have like a swap group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put them there. Okay. We'll solve this off the air.
Sounds good.
Here's a follow-up voicemail to my declared interest in the very expensive Augustinus Bader skin cream.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Kate and Dory. This is Ashley calling from Rhode Island. Love the podcast. Giving a shout out to my friend Erin, who started listening to your podcast over a year ago and made me listen to it and become a huge fan. I wanted to just offer a couple of comments on the Augustinus Bader cream that you talked about in this week's episode. So Erin and I have both used the cream and the rich cream for a few months, giving it a try. I will say that I absolutely loved it. It was just lovely in the winter. My skin was hydrated. It felt wonderful. I also think there's something to just simplifying your skincare routine and cutting out all of those extra products and just using the cream. It gives your chance of skin, your skin just kind of rejuvenates and it gets away from using too many products. So there may be something to that because it is very expensive. But I will also say that I went for a facial during that time and my esthetician said that my skin was lovely and hydrated and she couldn't believe how fantastic it was during the winter. And that was only using the rich cream. So that was from a professional. So I think that's pretty important. So for me, it worked great. I know some people don't love it, but you know, to each his own. And if it works for you, that's fantastic. So just wanted to weigh in. Love the podcast. The episode's coming. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Interesting.
Intriguing.
Yes.
This did nudge me in the direction that I finally went of ordering it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For the sake of the podcast.
Of course.
Of course.
You know, I wonder if my favorite Instagram chemist confessions has done.
I looked.
Oh, they haven't done one.
Sorry to interrupt, but I did scroll through because I also love chemist confessions / got to talk about getting them on the pod.
Totally.
And I was like, I need to know what they think because I don't want to feel like a fool.
Mm-hmm. But they haven't done it
yet. I didn't see it on there. Yeah.
Because did you see the other day they did the La Mer eye cream?
I did. That's what made me look through the whole feed. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and I will say, look, I did purchase a bottle of this cream. I am going to try it out and talk about it on the podcast. But the origin story of this like German professor who created it sounds very similar to what the origin story of La Mer is that I always heard, which is like this was originally created for people with burn victims, which I think is what was their narrative about La Mer, or at least it's what I grew up hearing about La Mer. So I
always just picture like a magic mountain Hans Castorp like sanitarium setting of all these like German and Swiss
skincare creators
like
again,
just applying them on burn victims and like sick people.
Yeah, like how much of this is just a crafted marketing experience?
I mean,
we'll find out.
We certainly will.
On my face. We have one more voicemail I would love to share with you that is really shared in solidarity with you, Dory. Mm.
Hi, guys. I just finished listening to your episode where you're talking about ants in the house. And I have dealt with that as well this year. And I just wanted to let you guys know that once you kill the ants, if you spray a little apple cider vinegar and water mixture, apparently it sort of stops the ants from being able to smell the trail of the ants that came before them. So you just kill the ants, clean them up, and then spray apple cider vinegar around, you know, the perimeter where they're coming in. And that has worked for me thus far. We had a couple little infestations this year, different times of the year, spring and then late summer. And it worked after, you know, a few times, I would say, maybe spraying it. Love you guys. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Wow. Can we dedicate a whole episode soon to just apple cider vinegar?
Kate.
Were you thinking that?
I wasn't thinking a whole episode, but I was thinking, what magical powers does apple cider vinegar not have?
It is useful for everything.
I mean,
I drink it when I'm, especially when I'm feeling sick.
Oh, okay.
Or I'll mix it in like a tall glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
I use it to catch fruit flies in my home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you put it in your hair?
I've done a rinse. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that with the hard water.
Mm-hmm.
Apple cider rinse. What else could we use it for? Well, now a spray to kill.
Yeah.
A spray not to kill
not
the ants.
Not to kill them, to prevent them from coming back.
I like that it just like eliminates the smell of the ants marching. I mean, I think we could come up with enough things to dedicate a full hour to the miracle of apple cider vinegar. So look forward to that.
Get ready, everyone.
That will be truly our sweatiest balls moment.
Oh my gosh.
An apple cider vinegar
episode? I mean, we should probably just be eating apple cider donuts as we do the episode.
That sounds so good.
But not chew into the microphone, because that's gross.
That would be gross. Yeah. And some people have that thing where they can't listen to chewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real thing. Well, wait.
And be drinking warm apple cider.
This is a very good fall episode,
yes,
Dory.
Yes, very autumnal.
And it's also a really wonderful segue to this next little segment we have called flossing, because we received so many messages about flossing, specifically cocoa floss.
Yeah.
Turns out,
as discussed on last week's episode, I have ordered.
And last night, I did the same. So here's what one person said. Kate, yes, cocoa floss feels different. So clean and not at all ouchy. Promise you'll just try it? ? Smiley face. # not an ad.
And you did.
I ordered strawberry flavor and no, not strawberry. Mint and orange.
I ordered mint.
Okay. We'll.
I contemplated getting the coconut, but didn't.
I'm curious about the other flavors. Mm-hmm. It also came in strawberry as well. Another listener wrote in and said, Dr. Tongues Smart Floss. I feel like cocoa floss gets all the attention, but Dr. Tongues is so good. It's really soft, but then expands between your teeth. Works so much better than Glide. It's also cardamom flavored, which is lovely. You can pick it up at Whole Foods, Sprouts, etc. Well, guess where I was yesterday?
Sprouts?
Whole Foods, but or the other. I didn't give you much of a choice there. And I bought some of the Dr. Tongues and I used it last night. I liked it. I don't know if it was as smooth of a ride as Glide, but...
Oh, interesting.
I liked the flavor, and I'm going to keep giving it a chance. Okay, one final email about flossing, which I have to say, this email made me especially excited. Longtime listener, first time Gmer. I'm a dentist who lives in, you guessed it, Boston, and works on the North Shore.
Wow, this person appeals to so many of our interests.
Oh, flossing.
Teeth and Boston.
When Kate said she wanted to floss more, I knew it was time for me to finally write in. Here are some professional dental tips. Flossing is a game changer. One, I typically recommend flossing before brushing because most patients are more likely to do it before. And because once you clean in between the teeth, the fluoride from the toothpaste will help maintain healthy enamel in those now clean areas.
Sidebar, does anyone floss after?
Me!
What?
You floss before?
Of course!
Oh, I didn't know that. I floss after. This like rocked my world.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Oh, we need to have a fight about this. Listeners, are you a before brusher or after brusher when it comes to flossing?
I mean, I just think like you floss and you kind of like stir up all this stuff and you want to kind of brush it all away.
See, I always think about it as like first you brush and kind of get everything out and then you floss to get the rest of it out. And then I use a mouthwash to just like swish it out.
I don't use mouthwash.
Well, my world is rocked. All right, here's the second tip. Oh, this was cute. Tie a piece of floss to your toothbrush. When you pick up your toothbrush, you'll see the floss and hopefully be reminded to floss.
That's cute.
Three, try to make it a 21-day intention. Whether it's Whether or not it's true that it takes 21 days to form a habit, this is still a great place to start. After you floss, then brush, just spit out. Don't rinse with water.
Mm.
I know I just blew your minds. You want to spit out, but not rinse so that fluoride stays on your teeth. Instead, rinse with water after a smoothie or ice cream that's loaded with sugars, even natural ones, not after you brush.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Now, I tried that and it was a little bit of a weird feeling not to rinse after brushing.
Yeah.
But the dentist's point made sense.
Wow. She also has a PS, which is fluoride sometimes gets a bad rap, but it is truly the best thing for preventing tooth decay. Do not swallow excess fluoride, and you do not need much toothpaste on your toothbrush, pea size, but do use it.
Do you use fluoride in your toothpaste?
You know, I always used to, and then I feel like I got influenced by people who are against big fluoride, and I started buying non-fluoridated toothpaste. But I think maybe I should go back.
I mean, I'll welcome you with open arms. This I've dentist been using, convinced me.
You know, Quip was a sponsor for a little while of this podcast, and they sent us toothpaste, and I've just been using that.
I've been using that too, and
I don't know if it has fluoride.
It does. I checked after we got this email.
Then I've been using fluoridated toothpaste lately.
Well, thank you, Quip.
Yes.
For that toothpaste, which I actually like very much. Well, listen, I love when a dentist writes in.
I mean,
what a treat.
Seriously.
So I will take your advice to heart, dentist. And again, people who floss after brushing, call me up, because surely I'm not the only one.
And people who floss before brushing, hit me up.
Well, now I am going to become a before brushing flosser because the dentist emailed us and said
All right. So
sorry to leave everybody else behind. All right, Tori.
Let's take a break.
Let's do it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style. Mm-hmm. And figuring out what my personal style is.
Mm-hmm.
But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, I would not either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
because that's how easy and accessible masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
So let's pick back up with a voicemail that is in response to a previous mini episode listener who was trying to deal with a breakup and finding it really hard.
Hi, Kate and Dory. This is Layton. I'm driving through downtown LA right now, and the external temperature is about 85, but I'm seven months pregnant, so the internal temperature is about 130. But I'm calling about the last mini episode and the woman who asked for advice about how to get over a breakup. And something that I use not to get over a breakup, but to get over something I realized I hadn't grieved related to my childhood, was I had a mourning ceremony. And it wasn't very involved. I just took a long, sweaty hike by myself, and I brought a little memento with me, and when I got to a lookout point, I buried the memento and publicly sobbed for about 10 minutes, and then I hiked back down. And I'm a big proponent of using these to grieve anything that you haven't really grieved or mourned, and the nice thing is that they can look however you want them to look, and they don't magically cure sadness, but I have to say that it really did something for me mentally and emotionally to validate the grief by devoting time and energy. And I do think it made me less sad because I was fully giving myself permission to be as sad as I needed to be. So anyway, hope that helps. Love the podcast so much. Bye.
Oh, I think that's such a great idea.
What a lovely idea.
Have you ever done any kind of ceremony in grieving a relationship or anything else?
No.
Have you ever burned anything?
One New Year's, we wrote, like, not resolutions, but just like New Year's
Intentions,
kind of. And then we burn them in a bonfire.
Mm. I think there's something powerful about any sort of ritual you do to honor any feeling like that. And the idea of a mourning ceremony is really powerful.
Yeah.
I also feel like if you're inclined, you could include other people.
Totally. And I also like the idea that, you know, we can grieve for things that aren't just like deaths.
Yeah, I loved that listener said that it was something from their childhood that they were grieving. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because when I feel like we don't validate different kinds of grief, whether it's relationships or careers or job or anything.
Yes.
You know, those things are not often treated as valid for feeling like deep sorrow over them. So I think that's really cool.
I do too.
Great suggestion. I would love to hear other kind of like mourning or grieving rituals people might have. Also, crying in public, very satisfying.
Mm.
There's something really cathartic about any crying, but a public cry? Are you a public crier? Have you ever done it?
I cried during Shavasana once.
Ooh, I'm always a yoga class crier. Always.
But crying, like in New York, crying on the subway is like a rite of passage.
Oh, 100%. I've definitely done it. I've cried through many exercise classes, I would think. I don't know. I'm always crying. Dory, we're going to transition here to FODMAPs.
I can't wait.
I just am confidential to you. This voicemail I eliminated because it was too much.
Oh, okay.
So we'll just go right into emails. Okay. Do you want to read this first FODMAPs?
I would love to.
Email?
All right, here we go. I was diagnosed about 5 years ago and have been following a modified FODMAP diet since then. Did we ever define FODMAP for our listeners?
I don't think we did.
I don't think we did.
Well, I have to Google to define it because I don't know exactly what it stands for. Do you know off the top of your head?
No.
FODMAP. Let's see what Dr. Google says. Oh, God. FODMAP stands for fermentable oligodimonosaccharides and polyols. Why did I have to be the one to have to read it off of Google? These are short chain carbs that are resistant to digestion. Instead of being absorbed in your bloodstream, they reach the far end of your intestine where most of your gut bacteria reside. I'm reading off of an internet article.
Okay.
But that's what it is. Basically, a FODMAP diet, as I understand it, is a diet that eliminates a bunch of foods that cause IBS.
Right.
And people are having like massive...
Cause like irritation.
Yeah. But it's a very restrictive elimination diet that I think provides a lot of relief. But
it's very hard.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So... And I just wanted to say, hang in there. The first couple of months are so hard. All you see is what you can't have. But as times go by, you stop thinking about it. You find new ways of cooking/baking/eating that spurs just as much joy as it ever did before or even more because you won't be in pain and or sick after. My worst FODMAPs foods are onion, garlic, beans, gluten, and lactose. It makes eating out a little tricky until you learn how to order, but also once you learn stacking... economizing. That's when it really gets better. For example, I can eat a piece of cake, but then I can't have an ice cream with lactose the same day. Also, do Instagram searches, especially in the beginning. I found that so inspiring and helpful. There are so many dietitians that run accounts, as well as people like myself that just try to live our best life and hopefully help someone else while Instagramming about the journey. I also found having my FODMAP Instagram account as kind of a diary made it feel more like an adventure in finding the best way for me to eat. So that's also a suggestion. So good luck. Your life is about to get so much better.
Okay. And another FODMAPing listener wrote us and they said, I felt so excited and validated to hear the voicemail from a fellow FODMAPper on last week's episode. I am currently in week 4 of a doctor recommended low FODMAP diet and really is extremely restrictive. Since the internet can feel too overwhelming at times, I found checking out low FODMAP books from my local library to be my best resource. I use these newfound recipes and it has really expanded my palate regarding spice blends. This is especially important because you cannot have garlic or onion, which seems to be in everything. I wanted to share this suggestion and send some love and positive energy to the caller and other FODMAPers out there. Now that takes a little turn. And while I have your attention, I had a question of my own. I am having a hard time balancing washing my hair only a few times a week with my current workouts, i.e. hot yoga and cardio in the summer heat. When I leave hot yoga, my hair is completely wet like I just jumped into a pool. I feel like the people who tell me to use dry shampoo may only have some perspiration around their neck and temples. This is not the case for me. I know I shouldn't wash it every day, but it also feels gross to leave it in a wet bun while I shower. Should I be wetting it but not washing, letting it dry on its own, or blow drying it to dry shampoo later? Buying special shampoo? Just give in and wash it because yuck, sweat? Help!
So I would just wash my hair.
I would just wash my hair too. It's not like there's some hard and fast rule that says no washing your hair every day. It's just kind of, it's up to you.
Yeah.
Everybody's lives are different.
Yeah.
Now, you could rinse it out and not put shampoo or soap or whatever you want in it.
I always found doing that, especially after I had sweat a lot, left my hair like feeling really gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what kind of hair this person has, but
of course, yeah.
Yeah, I just, it was not great. So I if I were in your shoes, and I have been in your shoes, I was always like so confused how people could go to like a spin class and then just like dab themselves with a makeup removing wipe and be like, bye, I'm going to work. I'd be like, what? Like, I have to take like 3 showers.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's body's different. Everyone sweats differently. And everyone also, like, your comfort level with all that is different. I mean,
yeah.
My best friend was visiting me. She's a professional dancer and she does really intense cardio and exercise. And she had just done like a hardcore workout class and then did not wash her hair. And I think I told you this. She told me that sweat is nature's hairspray.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
respect.
Her hair looked amazing.
Okay.
But she did the thing where she put it in a bun, took a shower.
I mean, I shower a lot less these days, as discussed, than I used to. And sometimes I don't shower after working out, but I'm also not sweating as much as I used to when I worked out.
Yeah. Like, I can't imagine members of the U.S. soccer team are not showering after they play a game or not washing their hair after they play a game.
I think do whatever makes you feel good.
Yeah.
If you don't feel good leaving, like if you don't feel good not washing your hair, then wash your hair.
Amen, Dory.
Thank you.
Quick pause, and then we shall be back.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
All right, we've got 2 more emails to discuss, Dory. You take this first one.
Okie doke. I have a friend that it feels like all she wants to talk to me about is complaints. She often actually starts the day by sending me a gift that says, ugh. Yeah, seriously. I want to be there and support her, but often it feels like she just wants an audience to say, oh, that sucks, rather than to talk it through, which does make sense in situations, but this is like almost a daily thing. I definitely understand this happening every once in a while, but it's to the point that most of our convos are just her complaining. It really drains me, and I don't want to just cut her out. Any advice on how to handle this?
Ooh, this is a tough one. This is a tough one.
I mean, your friend sounds depressed.
Yeah. Again, not medical professionals.
Yeah.
But that was my reaction. But it's also very hard to just say to someone, hey, you sound depressed.
Totally.
You should seek professional help from a therapist.
Totally.
That's hard for someone else to respond to as well, your friend in this case.
And I could also see like the friend writing into us and being like, my best friend of 15 years just told me, you know, she can't listen to me complaining all the time. And I feel like, you know, I just turned to her for support. You know, I could see the friend having a completely different perspective on this.
Sure.
That being said, I do think it's a lot to take on someone else's burdens like this all the time, especially when it sounds like it's not reciprocated. Like it sounds like a lot of depressed people, I think your friend is not able to sort of see outside of what's going on with her. And I get that. But that makes it hard to be her friend.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if you could maybe have a conversation with this friend in person.
Yeah.
Rather than responding, like, especially because I know if I was getting all these UGG tests every texts every day, I would feel frustrated mm-hmm. when one came up. So maybe the next time you were together, you could open a conversation and that might lead to them, you helping them get to the, I mean, I don't love the idea of being like, this is your responsibility to help them solve, you know, that's frustrating. But you could also have a conversation where you say like, hey, this happens a lot and I want to be there for you, but you know, I also need to think of my own well-being and it can be really hard for me. I don't know how to support you. You know, have you thought about seeking help from a professional who might be able to really offer you advice? Because you do need to, it is important, I think, to set a boundary in this situation,
yes.
right? Especially if it's affecting your well-being.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, as someone who's afraid of confrontation, that sounds really hard. And I'm not quite sure how to guide you on this one.
I think you just guided her really well.
Really?
Yes. I think that's great advice. And, you know, it's hard because I do think that sometimes we do just want an audience to say, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes people just want to vent. And that's been hard for me to learn as someone who wants to fix things all the time.
Oh, totally.
Sometimes people don't want you to fix things. They just want you to be like, man, that really sucks. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And I think also oftentimes people don't realize the impact that the venting might have on the person they're unloading
totally.
On.
Yes. So this is all to say, we see you. This is hard. Talk to them in person.
I think that's a good spot to sum up.
Yeah. All right.
Last question. And it's, I would say trigger warning. It's about illness and death.
Yeah.
So if that's not something you want to hear, you know, give it a pause. Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm writing today under circumstances I never thought I would be in. I am 23 and my 56-year-old single mom had a stroke last week, which led to the discovery of stage 4 pancreatic cancer. My mom is my best friend and only source of parental support to myself as well as my younger sister. My sister is 18 and is scheduled to start college in 4 weeks. My mother has always been healthy, taken good care of herself, and has no family history that indicated this should be of any concern. She's been given 3 to 6 months to live without treatment, but we're currently exploring other options. Needless to say, I am in shock. Kate, I know your mother has passed away, and I'm writing with hopes that you and some other listeners may be able to offer words of advice when it comes to taking care of oneself during a time like this. I've already come down with mono, which included a 104-degree fever after trying to push myself to go back to work, so I obviously could use some advice. I'm a notorious overpusher and have not been sleeping more than a few hours at a time since her diagnosis. Fatigue from the mono makes it hard to engage with my usual activities, yoga and horseback riding, and being in public becomes stressful when I never know what will trigger a bout of aggressive sobbing. My friends have been great, but I never know what to say when they ask, what can I do?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So I emailed this listener privately because so much of what they wrote resonated with me because my mom also was diagnosed at age 55 with stage 4 pancreatic cancer and was very similar, healthy little peppy thing. And then 9 months later, she had passed away. So, and I was 26, 27. So not the exact situation. My mom was not single, but similar thing. So I reached out to this listener and so we're chatting, but
nice.
And they, wanted to open it up to the audience for advice. Because self-care during this kind of experience, especially when you are young, when you're caregiving for a parent, and when also I suspect trying to be there for the younger sister who was transitioning to a huge new part of their life, going to college while their mom is dealing with a stage 4 cancer diagnosis. That's just, you're in the middle of a hurricane. And that is really, really hard. My initial thought, and Dory, I would love to hear what you think, is that if you can scale down what your self-care expectations are. Like, it might not be horseback riding and yoga. It might just be like sitting outside for 3 minutes and just like breathing and not looking at your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And finding like kind of operating in survival mode and finding the little pieces of self-care. And I think, you know, your friends who, like you said, have been great, but don't know kind of how to help, this might be a good spot for. What I suggested to this person was asked if they had a really good friend who could be the person who delegates the ways to help. So
such a good idea.
You don't have to be the person being like, this is what we need.
Yeah.
You could, you know, talk to one person about it and then they can go out and say like, hey, because also we're dealing with 23-year-olds. Like right. These are people who are young, may not have much financial independence to be able to like donate a ton of money or buy food or whatnot. So,
and also probably don't have much experience with this.
That's my assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if your friends can help, I don't know, like chip in to buy you a pass for your yoga studio or buy you a Kindle so that you like just, you know, things. I mean, again, there might be more pressing needs like paying for medical care. We don't know, but they might be able to find ways to help support you in your self-care. But also, I think just knowing like the most basic means of taking care of yourself are what's important right now. Like trying to find sleep, a therapist, eating well enough. And I think that's kind of where you can land. The other thing, and this is maybe not exactly related to your question, but I would, you know, your mom is single. And so I don't know what kind of responsibility you are under as a caregiver and dealing with anything if, you know, her, unfortunately, she does pass. But having those very hard conversations, I think will be vital to your self-care
in the future. That's really good advice.
And that is advice that I'm thinking about now with my own family, like me having kids, but also me talking to my dad.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had those conversations with your parents.
We just had the conversation of, oh, well, my sister will take care of everything. Mm-hmm. My sister, the lawyer, will take care of everything.
But there is a plan.
I mean,
because, you know, one thing that I didn't have to deal with when my mom got sick and passed away was dealing with her finances, figuring out, I didn't have to do. My dad handled all of that.
Yeah.
And it was not part of my experience. And I've actually received like feedback on my book just mentioning that because it wasn't something I had to deal with. And that is a really huge thing that a lot of children of people who are ill end up having to handle. So if those conversations can be had, I would start thinking about them just for your own sake as well as for your mom.
Yeah.
So listeners who have been through this, weigh in. I have this listener's info. They want to receive advice, so you can send it to the Forever 35 Gmail account and I will pass it on. But I hope, you know, this listener knows that we see you.
Yeah.
I see you really hard. It sucks and there's just no way.
Yeah.
It's just in the storm. On that note, Dory, shall we call it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But listener, thank you for writing us, and I'm sorry you had mono. That fucking is hard.
I've never
had mono.
I had it when I was a year old.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know that was possible.
Mm.
Year old Dory had mono?
Yeah. They thought I had cancer.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you. Me too.
That must have been stressful for your family.
It was very stressful.
Oh, poor family.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so if people have advice for this listener, give us a shout and we will pass it on. And thank you all for being the lovely, supportive, wonderful audience.
Yes, you're the best
listeners that you are.
Bye.
Bye.